الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، in our last class we discussed جلسة الاستراحة، and we mentioned that the correct thing is that جلسة الاستراحة is basically from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام in his salawat. We mentioned that جلسة الاستراحة is affirmed in the hadith of Malik ibn Huwayrith Abu Sulaiman al-Layfi. We also mentioned the hadith of Abu Humayd al-Sa'idi that describes that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, Abu Humayd described the Prophet Salah and said that when he raised his head from the sajda, he sits down, and the description of the sitting was iftirash. I think we read the hadith in some length in that class. He will sit iftirash alayhi salatu wasalam before he stands up from the first to the second rak'ah. We also mentioned that the ulama, one of them, al-Imam al-Nawawi, likewise Sheikh Mashhur Hassan al-Salman, in his tahqiq of the book al-Ishraf by Qadi Abdul Wahab, he mentioned that وَثَبَتَ عَنِ الْجَنِّ الْغَثِيرِ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ جلسة الاستراحة is established عن الجن الغفير من الصحابة from a large number of people amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Of course it will not leave out the 10 in the hadith of Abu Humayd al-Sa'idi, including Abu Humayd himself making 11, and of course Malik ibn Huwayrith 12, and others like Amr ibn Salama. Amr ibn Salama was a companion who was young, who used to lead the people in Salah. He has a hadith in Bukhari. He was about 6 or 7 years old at the time when he led the people in Salah during the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. You know how he learned the Quran? When he was learning the Quran, his people were mushriku. At that time he was a little young boy, 4 or 5 years old, 6 years old. So they had a stream, so to speak, a well, a water point in their area. When the companions who come to visit the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam go back to their places, they stop around their area. So they will be reciting the Quran amongst themselves. You know, when children see people like that, they go near them, what are these people saying? And they heard them reading the Quran. That was how he was memorizing the Quran. At that time, his people were mushriku. So when his people accepted Islam, his father was the one who was the leader of the Wahid delegation of his people to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He ordered them that the best of them in Quran should lead them in Salah. He said when they returned, they found out that I was the one. So they pushed him in front to lead the Salah. That's evidence that we have a young boy who knows best the Quran amongst us if you push him forward. That hadith, وَلِيَ أُمَّكُمْ أَقْرَأُكُمْ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ, it also has to do with the children. If those who are أَقْرَأُنَا لِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ are the children amongst us. So he led the people in Salah. These companions, رضي الله عنه, because the ulama counts him from amongst the companions. This companion, his name is Amr ibn Salama. He was also amongst those who used to sit Jalsa to Istiraha. And his hadith is in the hadith of Bukhari. He was around when Malik ibn Huwayrith was teaching the people. So when they pray, how was it to say like that man used to pray? And it was Amr ibn Salima radiallahu anhu. Who was that companion? So it's even possible we ourselves can gather up to 15-20 companions. Yes, who used to sit Jalsa to Istiraha. Jalsatul Istiraha is from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam in his salawat. We mentioned that al-Imam al-Nawawi in Majmu' Sharh al-Muhajjab, he also mentioned that many of the companions used to do it. We reminded also of the tabweed by al-Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih, for the hadith of Malik. Tabweed, the chapter heading. Ulama do it a lot. If there's a hadith, they want us to note something in that hadith, they make it a chapter heading. They refer to it as what? At-tabweed. Our tarjumatul ba'd. The heading of the chapter. What it explains. Al-Imam al-Bukhari did that in his Sahih. For this hadith of Malik, to say that we should sit down first before we stand up for the second rak'ah after the second sajda. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari did that. Al-Imam al-Nasa'i did that. Al-Imam ibn Khuzaymah did that. All regarding the hadith of Malik ibn Khuwayl. Showing the fiqh of that hadith, fiqh al-hadith. So these are some of the main points to establish the sunni of Jalsatul Istiraha. Few days ago I came across another tabweed which appear clearer than the rest. And that is the tabweed of Al-Imam ibn Hibban. Why are we mentioning all of these? We've seen all of these. We've been mentioning the early Muslims. No single mention of Al-Imam al-Albani rahimahullah. Because the people see it as, they almost even label it as like Jalsat al-Albani. Rahimahullah. So all of these people, the companions and all of these who made this Jalsa or Jilsa, they are from the early Muslims amongst the companions and the tabi'in. And they relied on reports from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam ibn Hibban in his Sahih, he says, rahimahullah, he says, ذِكْرُ مَا يُسْتَحَبُّ لِلْمُسَلِّ يُسْتَحَبُّ ذِكْرُ مَا يُسْتَحَبُّ لِلْمُسَلِّ أَنْ يَقْعُدَ فِي الرَّكْعَةِ الْأُولَى وَالثَّالِثَةِ بَعْدَ رَفْعِهِ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ السُّجُودِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَقُومَ قَائِمًا. He wants to tell us about the ahadith. يُسْتَحَبُّ لِلْمُسَلِّ. What is encouraged for the person who is observing the salah? أَنْ يَقُعْدَ فِي الرَّكْعَةِ الْأُولَى. That he should sit down in the first rak'ah. وَالثَّالِثَةِ. And the third rak'ah. بَعْدَ رَفْعِهِ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ السُّجُودِ. After he raises his head from his sujood, قَبْلَ أَنْ يَقُومَ قَائِمًا, before he stands up, completely standing up. Before he does that, he wants to tell us that there is a sunnah that we are encouraged to do, to sit down before that standing. And then he brought the hadith of Malik ibn Khuwayl. So that goes to understand, make us understand that Al-Imam ibn Hibban also considers this hadith as from the evidences that the individual, it is a sunnah for him in salah to sit Jalsat al-Istiraha. And we reminded us that that is the position of the likes of the Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah and others amongst the early Muslims that we mentioned. And those amongst them who are alive, we mentioned some amongst the scholars in the last class. Today, inshallah, we'll be discussing something related to Jalsat al-Istiraha. Now, someone stands up and sits down Jalsat al-Istiraha. How does he stand up? How does he stand up from that jilsa or jalsa? How does he stand up for the second rak'ah? Let us quickly say that the sunnah to stand up is that the individual should rest on his hands. You recline, you relax on your hands. And then you raise your leg while the hand is still on the ground. The hand then comes up when you're out. When you sit there for the istiraha, you want to stand up for the second rak'ah or the fourth rak'ah,
we place our hands, na'tamidu ala aydina, we depend, rely on our palms. We recline on our hands, and then we stand up. The sunnah is to rely, recline on the hands, rest on the palms, and then stand up. There are those among the ulama who say, if you like, you can open the hands, if you like, you can clasp the hands. Like the person who makes a dough, clasp the hands. But you see, when they make the dough, they do the two. Sometimes they slap it, and sometimes they are clapping it. They are clasping their hands while they do it. So it is safer to say they are both allowed. In fact, Al-Imam al-Nawawi in Al-Majmu' says the correct thing to do is to open the palms. But other things, both of them are correct. Whether we open the palms or we close. Like Al-Imam ibn al-Athir in his book, Al-Nihaya to see Ghalib al-Hadith. So they are both correct. You can open the hands, you can clasp the hands. That's opening. Or the clasp is the itimad al-yadayn. In the Nuhud, while we are standing up for the second or the first rak'ah. But they say that sifatul ajm, they say the two can be from the sifa of the person making al-ajm. Whether he opens the hands or he closes the hands. He rests on the hands and then he stands up. That is the sunnah for standing up during salah that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to practice. So this is the main point we want to discuss today. What are the proofs that establish the fact that when we want to stand up, we must put our hands on the ground? Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah Abu Zayd, Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah Abu Zayd, he has a book, La Jadida fi Ahkam al-Salah. There is no new thing in the rulings of Salah. He intends to discuss in that book, or he intended to discuss in the book, and he did discuss them, issues that people are just starting newly to do. And he mentioned a number of issues. One of the things he mentioned in the book is that it is not correct to clasp our hands when we want to stand up. It's not correct. Or to depend on the hands while standing up. He said that it's a new thing that is not in Islam. He made a statement that may be considered as a jest of those who do it. May Allah protect all of us. He said, because that is known of women when they make dough, when they make the flour bread. The wine girls, the manner that a woman makes the flour and prepare her flour for her bread, when does that become a way of performing salah? And then he mentioned in the second page of under that chapter that he had written an entire book to discuss how to stand up during the salah. The book is available. It's a Juz Hadithi. Juz on Hadithi. It is contained in, he has a book that is referred to as Al-Ajza'ul Hadithiyya. He discussed a number of issues in this book. One of them is Du'a'u Khatmul Qur'an. That is, those supplications people say, they connect them to when they conclude a reading of the entire Qur'an. They say that it is special du'a to say. Is it correct? He investigated it. Likewise, Al-Mashu. He says, Mashu Wajhi bin Yadayn Ba'ad al-Dua. When someone finishes supplication, Amin, as we do in our local message, Amin, Amin, Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifuna, Wa Salamu Ala al-Mursaleen, Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Salli Ala Nabi Kareem. I'm going to do that. Is that correct in Islam? In the north, my in-laws will do a party. You say party, I say you blow something on your hand, you rub on the face. Some people rub it on the entirety of the bed. Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, he investigated, does that have a basis in Islam? because of time. Our discussion is about how to stand up during the salah. He has a juzu in about 30 pages here where he discuss this point. Is it from Islam to stand up resting on the palms? It is talking of juzun fi kayfiyyati nuhudi fi salah. Juzun fi kayfiyyati nuhudi fi salah. Regarding the manner of standing up in salah. Wa dha'fu hadith al-ajm. And it proves, we want to prove that the hadith that Shaykh says we should cut our hands or open it when we stand up is weak. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. We come back to it if Allah wills. So we wrote an entire juz on it. It occurs in about not less than 100 pages. This juz. It is the fourth juz in the jump or majmu'ah of his ajza. Rahimahullah. Many of the articles, many of the chapters in the book, they are very brilliant works, well researched works. Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah, Abu Zaid, he did a lot of work in the book. It's always like that. We are. Because Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah has a lot of respect for him. He even mentioned his name in Sifat Salatul Nabi. Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah, he mentioned Sheikh Bakr Abu Zaid. When he was, Sheikh Al-Albani was refuting him regarding this matter, he could not mention his name. He said, Babul Afadi, some amongst our eminent ones, heads. He did not, it's not usual of him, rahimahullah, because he carries the baton to the battlefield. Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. More so, if he has a lot of reasons to prove that the person has heard, he will come in his front. But when he was refuting Sheikh Bakr Abu Zaid, wallahi, Sheikh was very calm with him in the reputation. May Allah forgive the two of them. One of our teachers, Sheikh Mashhur Hassan al-Salman, he narrated a story regarding himself and Sheikh Bakr Abu Zaid. I mentioned to him what Sheikh Bakr Abu Zaid said regarding him, that he mentioned him in his Muqaddima of Al-Muwafaqat by Al-Imam al-Shafi'i. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i has a book, Abu Ibrahim al-Shafi'i, Abu Ishaq. Al-Shatibi. He has a book in fact we call Al-Muwafaqat. Sheikh Mashhur did the tahqiq of that book in 6 to 7 volumes. How many volumes are there, Fatima? In 6 volumes. Muwafaqat. In the Muqaddimah, he mentioned what Sheikh Bakr Abu Zaid said about him. The letter he wrote. Because the Sheikh, this Sheikh, wanted to do a tahqiq and editing and checking of that book by Al-Shatibi. So Sheikh Mashhur did it before him. When he heard that Sheikh Mashhur had already done it, every research paper that he got, he sent it to Sheikh Mashhur. Take, I have gathered about it. I wanted to do, but I heard that you're already on the way. Join these ones with what you have. When he finished, when Sheikh Mashhur finished, he sent the books to him. Read what I have done. This is how knowledge should be. Yes, you share it with people. And you benefit and they benefit you too. So in Makkah I asked Sheikh Mashhur, one of our brothers were there, we were three on that. So how did you feel when you read what Sheikh Bakr Abu Zaid said about you? Because Sheikh Bakr Abu Zaid referred to him as Al-Allamatul Bahasa. He smiled, he laughed, he looked at me, he grabbed my shoulder, he smiled, he was just my Sheikh Mashhur. Because the big thing for somebody like Sheikh Bakr Abu Zaid to refer to him as what? Al-Allamatul Bahasa. For him it's like Subak. So Sheikh Mashhur once said he met Sheikh Bakr Abu Zaid. And he said to him, you have some differences in issues of fiqh and hadith with our teacher Al-Imam Al-Albani. So yes. So he started discussing. He now said to him, what if we arrange a time that you can sit down and meet Sheikh Al-Albani? Sheikh Mashhur said, Hafizahullah, that Sheikh Bakr Abu Zaid said, إذا جلست أمام الألباني لا أستطيع أن أتفوه بكلمة واحدة. If I sit in the front of Albani, I will not be able to say one word. Many young people today will say, Albani not all, you don't agree. Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, many of those who will leave with PhDs today, master's degrees, from Saudi Arabia will be from these students. Many of those who will have PhDs, master's degrees, will be in the category of the students of Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd. And the Sheikh said, if I sit in front of Albani, I will forget, I will not be able to say one word. He will be consuming his awe and esteem for him. So when some of these people who will be in the category of the students of Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, when they want to talk about Sheikh Al-Albani, they mention him like paper. May Allah forgive all of us. The point is, the Sheikh did an extensive work on what we are discussing today. But he wasn't correct in it, rahimahullah. Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd was not correct in what he ended up in his position. If we have sufficient time, inshallah, we'll discuss the reason why we say it's not correct. He erred in it, may Allah forgive him. And as mujtahid, he still has one ajr ko, ijtahada al-mujtahid. فَأَخْطَعَ فَلَهُ أَجْرٌ وَاحِدٌ. If a mujtahid, somebody who is knowledgeable, sufficiently knowledgeable, performs intellectual research on a matter, and then he says he has one single reward for his intellectual efforts. So may Allah forgive Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd. We like to discuss the fact that when we stand up from Jalsatul Istiraha, the individual should do what? He should place his hands on the ground before standing up. This is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. We have two proofs for that, like the last issue. The first proof for it is the hadith of Malik ibn Huwayl, Abu Sulaiman, radiyallahu anhu. Malik ibn Huwayl, the same hadith, Abu Kilaba reported of him, that Ja'ala Malik ibn Huwayl. Malik ibn Huwayl came to us, فَصَلَّى فِي مَسْجِدِنَا, and then he observed his salah in our masjid. وَقَالَ, after the salah he said to us, وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُصَلِّي, I want to pray now. وَمَا أُرِيدُ الصَّلَاةَ, but it's not that I want to make another salah, perhaps after Zuhur. And then he says, he wants to observe salah. But not that he wants to make Zuhur now too. Making it like a doing, that's not what I want to do. وَلَكِنْ أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُرِيَكُمْ كَيْفَ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُسَلِّمُ. What I rather want to do is, I want to show to you people how I saw the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, how I saw him pray. I want to show you how I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam observed his salah. Because the Prophet had told Malik ibn al-Huwayl, what did he say to him? Salli kama ra'aytumuni usalli. So when Malik went away to his people, he wants to show them now how he supposed to observe his salah. He says, wa kana Malik. So in that description, Malik ibn al-Huwayl, idha rafa'a ra'sahu min as-sajdati al-akhirah, when he raises his head from the last sajda, from the second sajda, في ركعة الأولى, in the first rak'ah, فَاسْتَوَى قَائِدًا, he will relax, he will sit down, balance. He will come back to sitting, balance. What is the name of this sitting? جَلْسَةُ الْإِسْتِرَاحَةِ. It has another name, جَلْسَةُ الْأَوْتَارِ. فَاسْتَوَى قَائِدًا. In some ways, Jalisa, he will sit down, balance in his sitting. And then, Qama, he will now stand up, Wa'tamada ala al-ard, and rest on the ground. He will recline on the earth, and then stand up. While Qama, while this action goes on, while he stands up, I'tamada ala al-ard, he will rest, Wa'tamada ala al-ard, he will rest on the ground. while he stands up, he will rest on the ground.
That's hadith. And Imam al-Bukhari has reported it. And Imam Muslim reported the hadith of Malik ibn al-Khuwairith, but he did not come to this matter. Apart from him, and Imam al-Shafi'i reported it in his book, Al-Umm. Likewise, and Imam Abu Dawud, Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam al-Nasa'i, Imam ibn Khuzaimah, Imam al-Bayhaqi, and others. Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, in this Jews, he went out to tell us a lot among those who reported the hadith. He was very extensive describing the makhraj of the hadith from the scholars of hadith. He made the tabbuh. He even gave the alfaz. The alfaz. But all the lamps or the alfaz, the entire wording of this hadith, they are what mutaqariba to the ma'na. Their meanings are what? The same. Which means he will stand up, or which would mean he will stand up from the sajda, sit down, and then when he stands up, he will rest on his hands and stand up. But there is an issue, ikhwah, that he started the book with, so we should start with that issue. He said in that hadith, Malik ibn al-Khuwairi said, قَامَ وَاَعْتَمَدَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will stand up, resting his hands on the ground. I said, I'm translating it again. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَامَ وَاَعْتَمَدَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. He stood up, reclining on the earth, reclining on the ground. He did not say with his hands. So when we say he reclined with his hands, where did we get with that with his hands from? What it says is, اِعْتَمَدُ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. اِعْتَمَدَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. Where did we get the yadayn from? He says, اِعْتَمَدَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. Did he say the yadayn? So he cited he cited one of the scholars from Silsilat al-Ahadith al-Da'ifa that Al-Imam al-Albani has cited, Al-Muhakkik Abdullah al-Amir. Al-Muhakkik Abdullah al-Amir said, I have followed it up. I did not see any wording that says the yadayn. He says, yes, I did not see anything that says the yadayn. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَعْنَاهَا هُوَ الْمُتَبَادِرُ مِنَ الْإِعْتِمَادِ. Even though what will easily come to the mind is that when you hear that he made an i'timad, like standing up, what will come to the mind is what? The yadayn. Ulama say, what it means is that that i'timad could not have been with any other than with his hands. One similitude I can give up in this circumstance, ikhwah, is that somebody says the man looked right and left. And then somebody says they did not say he turned his head. He looked right, look. He looked right and left. And then somebody says, he turned his head right, he turned his head in the left. Somebody says, don't say so. They say he looked. Did they say he turned his head right and left? But every person who understands the language very well will know that he could not have looked right except that he did what? He turned his head. Neither could he have looked left except that he did what? He turned his head. So he looked right and left means what? He turned his head right, he turned his left, his head left. So when he said in Tamad al-Arm, how could he have made it tonight except the fact that his hands were on the ground? So the matter would move from the issue of hadith to Luga. That in the terms of Arabic language, would it be understood that al-i'timad means that Tamad al-Yadani? Ulama say yes. In fact, Al-Imam al-Albani rahimahullah, he said there is none amongst the scholars as widely differing, as widely varying as the opinions of the scholars are on this matter. None of them said that this hadith meant other than that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to rest on his two hands. All of them said that is the meaning of the hadith.
What they were saying is that the reason why he rested was that he was fat, he was sick, he was this, he was that. So Malik ibn Ubayy said, no, I came to teach you the salah of the Prophet Muhammad. He did not mention whether he was sick or not. So the ulama, they all say that the meaning of summa istamada ala al-arz, and then he rested on the, he reclined on the earth, was that he did that with his hands. Like the example we gave. This is the meaning of this hadith, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam استمر قائدا بعد رفع رأسه من السجدة الثانية. After he raised his head from the second sajda, استمر قائدا. He will sit down balanced in his sitting. And then قام واعتمد على الأرض. When he stands up, he will rest on the earth. How will he rest on his earth? بيديه. We are saying that there is none amongst the ulama before Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd who said that this hadith meant that he rested in any other way. I didn't say that. Sheikh Al-Albani said that, rahimahullah. He said, no. Nobody amongst all the scholars who has spoken about the hadith, all of them come back to say that i'timadu ala al-ard meant what? Resting with his two hands. We will prove this point first. So what are their statements that says that i'timadu ala al-ard means that biyadayhi is part of it? That's why al-muhakkik Abdullah al-Amir, he says, wa in kana huwa al-mutabadir min al-i'timad. What you really easily understand when you say i'timada is that he was resting in his hands. That is what will come to mind linguistically. How would he have rested and stood up without the fact that the hand is on the ground? Just like, how would I have looked right without the fact that I have turned my head to the right side? As we gave in that example. The first of those who interpreted this hadith to mean that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will rest on his hands is the person who reported this hadith, Abu Kilaba, Abdullah ibn Zayd, rahimahullah, tabi'i. He was the one who said Malik ibn Huwayrid came to our masjid. Khalid al-Hazza, who also reported this hadith from Abu Kilaba. He says, Ra'aytu Aba Kilaba wal-Hasan. I saw Abu Kilaba. I also saw Imam Hassan al-Basri. He said, the two of them, I saw them ya'tamidani. The two of them were resting on their palms, ala aydihima fi salah. Ra'aytu Aba Kilaba wal-Hasan. Who is Hasan? Hasan al-Basri. يَعْتَمِدَانِ عَلَىٰ أَيْدِيهِمَا فِي السَّلَىٰ. I saw Abu Kilaba. Abu Kilaba is the one who told us that Malik ibn Huwayrid taught them to pray like that. When Abu Kilaba himself now prays, what does he do? اِعْتَمَدَ عَلَىٰ أَيْدِيهِمَا. He rests on his two hands to stand up. It means that is what he saw from the action of who? Malik ibn Huwayrid. Do we get this point? Abu Kilaba was the one who said, Malik came to teach us Salah. And then in that teaching he said, i'timada ala al-ard. Okay. What does i'timada ala al-ard mean? Abu Kilaba himself, when he performs Salah, he will write it to you, Ham, before he stands up during the Salah. Likewise, Imam al-Hasan al-Basri. It is not out of place that it was possible that Imam Hasan al-Basri was also present, because that precedence took place in Basra. Rahimahumullah. That asar of Abu Kilaba and Hasan al-Basri, it is occurred in Musannaf by Al-Imam ibn Abi Bakr ibn Abi Shayba, and it's not it's sahih. The next person I'd like to tell off his explanation about this hadith, to say that hadith means that al-i'timad wa al-ard necessarily includes the fact that he rested on his hand. It's Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. Muhammad ibn Idris, rahimahullah, one of the greatest scholars of Arabic language. In fact, one of the scholars said one of the greatest scholars of Islam completely. Every day you find a scholar, the most likely thing is that Al-Imam al-Shafi'i is smaller than him. The first person to write a book on Usul al-Fiqh. The first person to write a book on Mustala al-Hadith. One of those who encouraged him to write the book. The book is called Ar-Risala. In fact, the one who actually encouraged him to write, Al-Imam Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, rahimahullah. He says, مَا رَأَيْتُ نَذِيرَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi is a teacher of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. When he talked about Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, he says, مَا رَأَيْتُ نَذِيرَهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. In this world, I never saw anyone equaling Shafi'i. I didn't see. Rahimahullah. They were first learning the science of hadith. When they say Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi say this, we know what it means. Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, so much of a great scholar that when we say the teacher of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, we know what it means. He was such a great scholar to the extent that if he reports from a reporter, if he says, Haddathani Fulan, it means that person is sicker. If Ibn Mahdi collects hadith from you, if Ibn Mahdi were here now, you don't ask about the person he is listening to. Abdul Rahman Ibn Mahdi, if he says, Haddathana Fulan, that Fulan is sicker. Don't start asking, who is he? Who is Imam? لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَرْوِي إِلَّا عَنِ السِّقَةِ. Because this Imam, he does not report narrations from anybody except those who are well learned and reliable in their reports. Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, when he spoke about Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, is مَا رَأَيْتُ نَذِيرَهُ فِي الْجِلَّةِ. I never found anyone in this world like Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i. Those who are very, very, very vast in the matters of grammar. You know who Ibn Hisham was? Al-Nahwi. Al-Imam Ibn Hisham. He is one of the students of Shafi'i, rahimahullah. He says regarding Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, he says, Al-Shafi'i, kalamuhu luga. Imam al-Shafi'i, kalamuhu luga. What he says is luga. Take it like that. Don't look for a dictionary. Yustajju biha. You give evidence. When they say, what he said, where did you see people talk like that? Shafi'i said so. Hujjah. Who said so? Al-Imam Ibn Hisham al-Nahwi. There are others. But I think we save the time and proceed. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i is one of the most learned people in linguistics. In the matter of share. Think of it. In all round aspects of knowledge. One of the good scholars of our time said, I've never seen or read about a scholar who is as perfect as Shafi'i in all aspects of knowledge. If you mention Quran and Qira'at, kana qari'an wa imaman fih. If you mention Nahu, Luga, Balaga, Shair, he is the Al-Imam al-Asma'i. He said, when I want to correct some Shair, stanza or poem that people had said, I will be listening, how did Shafi'i read it? The standard is the standard of you, Shafi'i Rahim. He is the one who says regarding this hadith. He says, Rahimahullah, in his book, Al-Umm, in the first volume, page 269, the publication of Darul Wafa. Al-Imam Shafi'i Rahimahullah has put in the hadith of Malik ibn Huwayli. What we are saying is that the scholars all say that وَاَعْتَمَدَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ means that he puts his hands on the ground. It means part of it. Resting on the ground means that it is with his hands. They say that is al-mutabadil. That is what you understand easily when you read it. And that is what it means. And we said again, it is not known that any other person amongst the scholars have explained this hadith in other than this manner. What they say is that there was a reason why the Prophet did like that. They've never said that. It does not mean that you have to put your hand on the ground. I hope that this point is clear. Imam Shafi'i, after mentioning this hadith in Al-Umm, he said, He says, Wabi hada na akhudhu. We are going to take, we are going to rely on this hadith. فَنَعْمُهُ مَنْ قَرَمَ فِي مِنْ سُجُودِ. Therefore, you will command every person who stands up from sujood, or jumu'ah, or from a sitting, they have to make tahiyya. After the first tahiyya and tashahud, he wants to stand up himself, and the one who is standing up after the second sajda, what we tell them to do is salah when they are in salah. أن يعتمد على الأرض بيديه معا is that they should rest on the earth, on the ground. That person should do so with his two hands, معا, together, اتباعا للسنة. By way of following the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. What does it mean? It means to stand up like that. It's from the mandubat of Salah. Imam Shafi'i made that statement in his book. Al-Umm in the first volume, page 269. Two or three pages before that, he was discussing an issue. What he said is also relevant. Let's read it to you. He said, Rahimahullah, وَإِذَا أَرَادَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنَ السُّجُودِ أَوِ الْجُلُوسِ. If the plain person wants to stand up, whether from sujood or from his sitting, اِعْتَمَدَ بِيَدَيْهِ, he should rest on his two hands, عَلَى الْأَرْضِ, on the earth, وَنَهَضَ, and then he should stand up. وَلَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ يَنْهَضَ بِغَيْرِ اِعْتِمَادِ. I do not give any pattern that such a person should stand up like that without resting on the ground. Don't do so. Rahimahullah. فَإِنَّهُ, the reason why you should not do so is that يُرْوَى عَلِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. It is reported usually from the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه كان يعتمد على الأرض إذا أراد الكيام. That the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he wants to stand up, what will he do? اِعْتَمَدَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ. As he explains اِعْتَمَدَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ, how does he explain it? بِيَدَيْهِ. Another person amongst the ulama who interprets this hadith, we are not saying who has a second opinion, or who has another. This hadith, what does it mean? That's what we are saying. The first issue is resolved. Because if you seek to prove any point and you cite a hadith, there are two things you must look for. What is the first thing as to root? Is this hadith authentic? We have finished that one. This hadith is in Bukhari. No discussion. Okay. The next thing is ad-dalala. Does it prove what we want? That is what we are doing now. We are saying that al-i'timadu ala al-ardi includes what? Placing the hands on the ground amongst the scholars of the language, the scholars of fiqh, and amongst the scholars of hadith. After or aside Imam Shafi'i, I was surprised. I was very surprised to find that that is also the explanation of Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas. Imam Malik. Because some of those, or many of those that I know who oppose standing, alleged, standing up from sitting by resting the hands, they are the Malikiya. But Al-Imam Malik himself explains this hadith of Malik ibn al-Huwayl to mean that we must make i'timad with our two hands. The first person who cited that of him was Al-Imam ibn Qudama in his book Al-Mubin. Al-Imam ibn Qudama says, قَالَ مَالِكٌ وَالشَّافِعِ. He says, قَالَ مَالِكٌ وَالشَّافِعِ. Al-Imam Malik said, and Al-Imam al-Shafi'i said, as for Shafi'i, we have read in his own comments. So we're not bothered about him. The next person is Malik. Ibn Qudama said, قال مالك والشافعي. الإمام مالك and الإمام الشافعي they say السنة, the sunnah is that أن يعتمد على يديه في النهوض, that the individual should rest on his two hands في النهوض, that is while standing up. لأن, because the reason why he should do that, لأن مالك ابن الحويرث, because مالك ابن الحويرث رضي الله عنه
قال في صفة صلاة النبي said رضي الله عنه while describing the salah of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إنه لما رفع رأسه من السجدة الثانية that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم when he raises his head from the second sajda استوى قائدا he will be balanced in his sitting first ثم اعتمد على الأرض then he will rest on his hand but he says the meaning is that السنة أن يعتمد على ماذا على يديه who and who said that مالك and who الشافعي الإمام ابن قدامة made that statement saying المؤمن in my copy of المؤمن it is in the first volume page 218 I didn't know if it conforms with the copies of the rest of us. But in mine, it's the first volume, page 218, you find the statement that Al-Imam Malik and Shafi'i say that the Sunnah we perform when we are standing up from Salah, from the second sajda to the second rak'ah, and from the second sajda to the third rak'ah, to the fourth rak'ah in Salah, is that we should do what? We should rest on our hands and then we should stand up. That statement is in Al-Mughni. Okay. Somebody can say, Al-Imam ibn Qudama is Hanbali. If he is Hanbali, would he have wrongly cited Al-Imam Malik? I was surprised also that Al-Imam ibn Abdul-Barr in At-Tamhid refers to it as the position of Al-Imam Malik. Tamhid, At-Tamhid is the Sharh of Muwatta. But Al-Imam ibn Abdul-Barr, if you say one of the greatest scholars of Madhab Malikiya Qatibatan is Ibn Abdul Barr, you will not have erred. And he made a lot of effort on Madhab Malik, Ibn Abdul Barr. He made sharh of Muwatta in about three times or four. He has a Tamheed. He has Tamheed in how many volumes? About 30 volumes or over that. I'm telling you, it is in 30 volumes. It is printed in 14, 15 volumes. But the first print that came out was in about 35 volumes of At-Tamhid. Then he has Al-Mustadrak Gap, which is also a share of Muwatta Imam Malik. My own copy of Al-Mustadrak Gap occurs in over 25 volumes, about 26 or 27 volumes of Al-Mustadrak Gap. It's not been done. And he's Malik. He also, in the first two, he dealt extensively on Isnad and Jamu' Aqwal Ahlil Ilm. That is, discussing the chains of report and mentioning the positions of the scholar regarding the various issues. He now made Tahleel al-Alfaz. Another sheikh where he discussed extensively the expressions of Muwatta. And then a summary of that. He has four uruq. Of Muwatta Ibn Abdul Barr in At-Tamhid, he says one of those who say that we should put the two hands on the ground as from the meaning of the hadith of Malik ibn Huwayrid is who Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. Aside that, Al-Imam ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he mentions it and says that that is the view of the rest of the scholars. What is their view that? Al-i'timadu ala al-ard fi salah inda al-nuhud means that it must be what? Bil yadayn. Ibn Qudama mentions that and says, Ma a'rifu lahu khilafa. I don't know anyone who says another one, another thing. That this hadith means that when the individual is in salah and he wants to stand up from the sajda, the second sajda, the first rak'ah to the second rak'ah, how should he stand up? He should depend on his hands to stand up from that sajda. My dear brothers, we are being expensive because there are a lot of people who hate what we are saying. We are trying to say that we are established from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fortunately or unfortunately, nobody can make gums on that hadith. Nobody can raise issues against the hadith. Why? It is inside the Sahih al-Bukhari. No issue. And the Islam is Sahih. Amongst those who explain the hadith of Malik ibn Huwayrid,
تؤمن على الاعتماد باليدين إذ قاضي عبد الوهاب في أرس مالكي قاضي عبد الوهاب is also Malik. He's 4th century scholar. 4th century. Qadi Abdul Wahab. 4th century. He also says this hadith of Malik ibn Humayris means that the individual should rest on his two hands while standing up. It is not Albani issue. It's the same knowledge. Rahimahumullah. The other aspect of Qadi Abdul Wahab's statement in Al-Ishraf, it occurs in the first volume, page 282. Volume 1, page 282. In the Tahqiq of Sheikh Mashhur. Many of my brothers have it on Hafizahullah. Many of my brothers have it on their system. Go and check it too. We'll be doing very good students if we do so, inshallah. From the aspect of what the scholars say about this hadith, is their tabweed. So let's quickly check that too. Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba in his Musannaf, he gave a chapter heading regarding the hadith of Malik ibn Huwayr. He says, فِالرَّجُلِ يَعْتَمِدُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ فِسْكَلَى فِالرَّجُلِ. This is a chapter regarding the man, يَعْتَمِدُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ فِسْكَلَى, that he should depend on his two hands while standing up in Salah. And then he mentioned the hadith of Malik ibn Huwayr. The other person who did that, my copy of Musannaf Abdurrazzaq, Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba, is the copy of Dar al-Hadith. And that statement occurs in the second volume, page 276. The other person who did that was Al-Imam Ibn Khuzayma, Rahimahullah. He said, بَابُ الْإِعْتِمَادِ عَلَى الْيَدَيْنِ. Many times when in discussion, someone says, "I'm going to somewhere, I feel very angry." Ibn Khuzayma, they call him Imam al-A'imma, Muhammad ibn Ishaq, because he was among the teachers of Bukhari Muslim, and as how to the teacher, they took from him. That's why they refer to him as what? Imam al-A'imma. Bukhari took from him, Muslim took from him. He is the one speaking that when you stand up, depend on the two hands. And all of these, Sheikh al-Albani did not quote these statements that we are quoting. Both of his books. The first person he mentioned Imam al-Shafi. He did not mention Malik. He left the rest. He was saying other things. So here we have Ibn Abi Shayba, we have Ibn Khuzayma, we have Qadi Abdul Wahab, all of them. They say that hadith has only that meaning. And Sheikh al-Albani says, nobody interprets it to mean any other thing apart from the fact that you put your hands on the ground as you stand up. If you want to disprove it, just bring one of the early Muslims to say that this hadith of Malik ibn Khuwayris means any other thing than what we are saying. We are not saying there are no other opinions. Those opinions, they say this hadith of Malik ibn Huwayris, the Prophet did that because he was old, because maybe he was sick, because Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, likewise Sheikh Abdurrahman ibn Asifuri, and others, they say all these excuses you are giving, they are business. And Imam al-Nawawi also said that in Al-Majmu. To say that the Prophet put his hands to stand up was because he was ill. And yes, the people are telling us that, let me tell you how the Prophet used to pray. And he told them that, look at me, how I pray. Pray like that and teach people to pray like that. You come back to say, no, the Prophet was praying like that because he was sick, because he was ill, because he was fat. Where is the evidence for that in the wire? Al-Imam ibn Khuzayma in his Sahih, he says, بَابُ الْإِتِمَادِ عَلَى الْيَدَيْنِ إِنْدَ النُّهُولِ. The chapter regarding depending on the two hands while standing up in Salah of God. إِلَى الرَّكَعَةِ الثَّانِيَةِ, while standing up to the second rak'ah.
وَإِلَى الرَّابِعَ
And while standing up to the fourth rak'ah. And then he mentioned the hadith of Malik ibn al-Khuwayrith.
Meaning that what they all deduce from that hadith is that when you stand up, what should you do?
اِعْتَمِدْ
تَعْتَمِدُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْكِ You rest on your two hands and then you stand up. This is the meaning of this hadith. That statement of Al-Imam Ibn Khuzayma, it occurs in Sahih Ibn Khuzayma with the tahqiq of Dr. Mustafa Al-Azami in the first volume, page 364. That is a standard copy for Sahih Ibn Khuzayma. So the first hadith that says that when we perform salah, we should rest on the ground and stand up, is the hadith of who? Malik ibn al-Khuwayrith. Let me show us that way of standing. From that first rak'ah to the second rak'ah. As Malik described it. When we make our sajda, we sit down, and that sitting will be iftirash. We stretch the left leg on the ground, and we erect the left. I think we saw this in Al-Jalsa today in the sajda thing. We mentioned two ways of sitting there. The first one is what? Iftirash. The second one is what? Ik'ah. So the iftirash is the only allowed sitting in Jalsatul Iftirah. Don't sit Ik'ah for Jalsatul Iftirah. Because you will not have proof for it. But in the hadith of Abu Hamid al-Sa'idi, he described it as what? Iftirash. In the hadith of Malik ibn al-Khuwayrith, he just says that the person used to sit down. He did not describe how. The person who told us how is who? Abu Hamid al-Sa'idi and the rest of the 10 companions who were with him. So we take that as a tafsir for the Ibham in the hadith of Malik ibn al-Khuwayrith. So we sit down, Jalsat al-Istiraha, Istirashan. And then we stand up like this. The two hands on the ground. As we stand up, the two hands on the ground. That is Itimadu al-Ard. We stand up, Mu'tamidina al-Ard, Bi'aydina, like that. We rest on the arms like this. Itimad al-Ard. I want to go there. I will tell you why at the end of this class. Al-Imam al-Nawawi in Al-Majmu'ah, he said that standing up like that, he says both men and women are equally mixed. We will make it our last statement to read, inshallah. So women too must stand up like that. Men must stand up like that. He says, وَالْقَوِيُّ وَالْضَعِيفُ The person who is strong should stand up like that. The person who is weak should do what? Should stand up like that. Everybody should stand up like that. So everybody should learn it. The way to stand up in Salah is by making an intimad and a yadayn. And the absence of the proof of that is from which hadith? The hadith of Malik ibn Huwayth. That's the second hadith. We come back to it after we show it. The next sunnah for us to show and describe these ways is the fact that we are reading the hadith of somebody who was showing the people. So we follow Malik ibn Huwayth. Malik ibn Huwayth was not just telling that. He stood up, he stand up, he was describing it and showing the people. That is the mystery. We cannot be reading that kind of hadith and we don't show it to us. We will not be being good students of Ibn Hadith. Do we understand? May Allah protect us. The second hadith that discusses standing up, if we don't find any other hadith except the hadith of Malik ibn al-Huwayrith, it suffices. You know that hadith? The hadith of Sallu Kamara Aitimuni. We don't find any other hadith except that, Yakfina. But there is a second hadith. The hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. Radiallahu anhuma. Al-Imam Al-Abwat ibn Qayyim. Sadi. It's from amongst the A'imma. He says, Ra'aytu ibn Umar. I saw Abdullah ibn Umar. Iza qama min al-raka'atayn, when he stands up for the second raka'at, i'tamada ala al-ardi biyadayhi. Ibn Umar. Ra'aytu ibn Umar. Al-Azraq ibn Qays. He says, I saw Abdullah ibn Umar. He got common in a rak'ah. If he stands up on onto the second rak'ah, he itamada ala al-ardi biyadayhi. He will rest on the earth with his two hands. فَقُلْتُ لِوَلَدِهِ وَلِجُلَى سَعِدِ. So I said to his son, Abdullah ibn Umar, he has a lot of children. One of them is who? Salim. One of them is who? Abdullah. Abdullah ibn Umar, he has a son. What is his name? Abdullah ibn Umar. Some of our young brothers, one day, I named one of my children Ibrahim. One brother said, they say that if a man names his child by his name, he does quickly, I laugh. Can death be quick? Death, can it be quick? Huh? If you go to Taqrib al-Tahdi, there are 21 of them, Abdullah ibn Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Abdullah, Abdullah ibn Abdullah. 21. Muhammadun hadith wala haraj. Muhammadun, Muhammad ibn Muhammad, Muhammad ibn Muhammad, Muhammad ibn Muhammad. Fulani, a man can have 7 boys and name all the boys Muhammad. You know how you will differentiate them? Muhammad al-Awwal, Muhammad al-Thani, Thani, Rabi, Khamis, Thabit, Thabit. I know Tati. I have a friend, Muhammad Tati. They are calling him Tasiu, Tasiu. That is the ninth Muhammad. All their children Muhammad. Go back to our life. This brother says his godfather is 10, Muhammad al-Ashir. One brother said, if you name it, there is a manzuma amongst the people of the Quran. Because the person who said this is supposed to be amongst the people of the Quran. Manzumatul Jazariya. Al Imam al Jazari. What is his name? Muhammad ibn Muhammad ibn Muhammad. Afala ta'kilu? So we don't know which amongst the children of Abdullah ibn Umar was on the ticket. He also had a child called Bilal. He had Bilal, he had Abdullah, he had Salim. Rabbi Allah, all these were scholars. May Allah give us that chance too. May Allah give us the opportunity. Make our children learned people of understanding. The faqultu li waladihi wa li jula sa'ihi. Al-Azra ibn Muqayyid said, so I said to those, his children, his son, and those who were sitting with him, لَعَلَّهُ يَسْعَلُ هَذَا مِنَ الْكِبَرِ. Maybe Abdullah ibn Umar is doing this because he's not an old man. Is he doing this because he's old? رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. قَالُوا, they all say to me, لَا وَلَكِنْ هَكَذَا يَكُونُ. He's not doing it because he's old. In fact, هَكَذَا يَكُونُ. What does that mean? That is how he thinks. That is how we should observe the Salah. Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, in Silsilat al-Ahadith al-Da'ifa, the second volume, where he discussed this issue, he said this is clear-cut evidence that Ibn Umar was doing it after Muna, by way of following the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This asar of Ibn Umar that I just said, the Imam Al-Albani said that, and Imam Al-Bayhaqi has reported it. I also find something like this in Musannaf Ibn Abi Shaybah. But it stops at Ra'ayt ibn Umar, إذا قام من الركعتين اعتمد على الأرض بيديه. That's in Musannaf Ibn Abi Shaybah, my copy. The other part of this kitab may be in other copies. There are reasons why things happen like that, because of taqta.
The manuscript stop bring issues. See, but in Sunan al-Bayhaqi from where Sheikh al-Albani cited, and I am quoting from Al-Imam al-Albani rahimahullah, he mentioned the end of the state. But in Musannaf ibn Abi Shayba, Al-Imam ibn Abi Shayba reported this asar from rahimahullah, from Al-Imam Waqi ibn al-Jarrah. Waqi ibn al-Jarrah is the person who has the largest report from Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in Musnad. Waqi ibn al-Jarrah, Waqi ibn al-Jarrah, Waqi ibn al-Jarrah, Waqi ibn al-Jarrah. Sheikh Ahmad, you're the Imam. And Al-Imam Waqi reported it from Hammad ibn Salama, rahimahumullah. And Al-Imam Muhammad reported it from Al-Azraq ibn Qays. This Islam, Zahiruhu Suha. The authentic Islam, apparently. The Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, while discussing the Islam he brought in Sunan al-Bayhaqi, is Wahada Islam Jizrudin. This is a nice Islam. What does it say in it? Al-Azraq ibn Qays. It says, Ra'aytu Abdullah ibn, Ra'aytu ibn Umar. إذا قام من الركعتين I saw ابن عمر when he started on to the second rak'ah اعتمد على الأرض he read on the earth بيديه with his two hands فقلت لولده ولجنابته so I spoke to his children his boy or his boy ولجنابته and those who were seated around him لعله يفعل هذا من الكبر Maybe he's doing this out of old age. قَالُوا لَا He said, no, it's not because of old age. هَكَذَا يَكُونُ What he has done, that is how it comes. That is how he does. How does he do? اِعْتَمَدَ يَعْتَمِدُ عَلَى الْيَدَيْنِ إِنَّ الْمُزِيرُ بِكِلَى الرَّكَعَةِ الثَّانِيَةِ وَالرَّابِعَةِ There is another narration from Ibn Umar, also from Al-Azraq ibn Qays. This time, this report, this second report, is the reason why Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd wrote that book. This hadith is called Hadith Ajib. Ajib. Hadith Ajib. It is a hadith. He said he heard in that report. We mentioned just two things about the error. Rahimahullah, and mention what is correct regarding them, if Allah will. Al-Azraq ibn Qays said, Ra'ayt ibn Umar, I saw Abdullah ibn Umar, Ya'jinu fi salah. You can ask him, Ajinu, Ajinu, where is this Ajinu in this year? This is Sifat Salat Nabi. What is Sifat? How does this come about in the science of Hadith? Al-Ajmu, this is Hadith Al-Ajmu, you are hearing. How does this go? Al-Azraq ibn Qays said, he saw Abdullah ibn Umar, Ya'jinu fi salah, making Al-Ajmu in salah. Al-Ajmu is those people who make flour, make bread. You know how they make the bread? They beat the flour, sometimes they wrap it. That is Al-Ajmu, making Ajmu. So he says, رأيت ابن عمر يعجن في الصلاة. I saw Abdullah ibn Umar making al-ajm in salah. What is that? He himself explained it. يعتمد على يديه إذا قام. He was resting on his two hands when he stood up. فقلت له. So I asked him about it. فقال. And then he said, رأيت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعله. I saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing that. This asar or this hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar on Al-Ajm that he never did and stand up is not common in the books of hadith. It only occurs in two places. The first one is المعجم الكبير مع الإمام الطبراني. The second one is the book غريب الحديث مع الإمام أبو إسحاق إبراهيم بن إسحاق الحربي.
I bought this book because one of our teachers took it from me. Because it is cast. I was opportune, alhamdulillah, that I was able to find it. But when I came, I said, bring all the books you bought. So I took it. See this one? Garib al-Hadith by Ibrahim al-Harb. That is where this hadith occurs. Some scholars say the meaning of Garib al-Hadith is like a dictionary of matters regarding hadith. Garib al-Hadith, strange words in ahadith, you find their meanings in Kutub al-Garib, Kutub al-Garib, the books on Garib al-Hadith. I hope we get this one. The Prophet to say something, alayhi salam. We don't know the meaning. Asa, he says, alayhi salatu wa salam, habba to sawda, ko? Shifa only kulli shayin illa sa. Ko? Lama sa'am ya Rabbi, what is sa'am? This kind of word, sa'am, if you go to Kutub al-Garib, you will find the meaning there. Garib al-Hadith. It is a very important aspect of the science of hadith. It is a field on its own. There are specialists in that science. Like Imam Abu Ubaid al-Qasim ibn Salam, the teacher of Imam Ahmad. That is what he does. He will be explaining the difficult to understand words in the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wa salam. You know, perhaps sometimes the kind of word vocabulary they use, these days we'll be looking for it. What does it mean? These days that we have already anglicized Arabic language. Yes, the brother told me that he studied Arabic language in ADE. Before he went in for his first degree, I think he's on his PhD now. Not Abu Hikmah. Before he went in for his first degree, he was already a learned person. This is one of his students, he is Abu Rizal. Abu Rizal, you know him? Hello. He said, Abu Nasir, the English, the Arabic we are learning now is English Arabic. At least to say they are learning English language using Arabic. He said, otherwise, the Nahu, Sarfu, Balaza, and all of these things we learned. When we got there, we started thinking, are we, is this the same Arabic? Which Arabic is this? So it means in this generation we'll be having more problems with Garib al-Hadith. Some people who read verses of Quran, they may have first degree in Arabic language, they may not understand what it means. They may not. Why? Because the language, there is a lot, evolution. But there is still the footpath with them, you know, there, with the scholars. Those are the scholars they will now call traditional scholars. They know what they are doing to you. They call those people now traditional scholars. If they want to honor them, they call them orthodox scholars. May Allah protect them. They can also call them clerics. But those ones that are having PhD professors, they say, are these a professor of Arabic? Because when the other one comes, he knows more Arabic than the professor. Do you know that? May Allah protect them. So, Garib al-Hadith is a science in the science of Hadith. It is a branch in the science of Hadith. They deal with what expressions that are difficult to understand. In the past, they used to mention the Isnad. Any word they want to explain, they will mention the Hadith that brings it. Any word they want to explain, they mention the word that brings it. Any of us who has an Nihaya to see Garib al-Hadith by Ibn al-Athir, said a 6th, 7th century book on Garib al-Hadith, one of the best. You see, he mentioned a hadith. But in his own, he will not mention a Tanith. But in the past, in the time of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, because this Imam Ibrahim al-Harbi is in contemporary Mu'asir ni Ahmad. So in their times, they were ready to their Islam. When people like Ibn al-Athir came, they cut off the Isnad and bring the matin alone. Because some scholars are saying, why is it that it is in the book of Garib al-Hadith we find this? I say, yes, in their time they used to write Asanid. Al-Kifayat fi ilm al-Riwaya by al-Khatib al-Baghdad. It's a book of the Sura al-Hadith, correct? But is there any statement you read in the book except that you find it in its Isnad? You find it in Isnad. I think you are reading a Hadith.
جامع بيان العلم وفضل والإمام ابن عبد البر. Is there anything you read inside it except that it is not? Like that. So it is not a blame that why is the hadith in the book of Garib al-Hadith? Because in their time, when they wrote books like that, they wrote it with their Islam. So it is this hadith that many contend. Be wary whether the hadith is sahih. But the hadith is sahih. This hadith, Sheikh al-Albani says, it's not Abu Hassan. Then least woman who did this hadith is al-Husn. This hadith is at least Hassan. If not Qatar, we try to tease that because it's a major issue among Sunnah lovers. But let's mention two areas. The two areas of worry, areas of difference amongst the people. The first area of difference in this hadith is that this hadith has an isnad. The isnad is from Al-Imam Ibrahim Ibn Ishaq Al-Harbi Abu Ishaq. He reported it from Ubaydullah Ibn Umar. Ubaydullah Ibn Umar Al-Qawahiri. And he reported from Al-Imam Yunus Ibn Bukayr. This is not occurred in Tamam al-Minna. It also occurred in Silsila 2, Ahadith al-Da'ifa, and in other books. It also occurred in this juz by Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd. Ibrahim al-Harbi reports from Ubaydullah ibn Umar al-Qawari. Ubaydullah reports from Al-Imam Yunus ibn Bukayr. Yunus ibn Bukayr reports from Al-Haytham. Haytham ibn Imran al-Abad. And he reports from Al-Imam Atiyah ibn Qays. Atiyah ibn Qays reported from Al-Azraq ibn Qays. Atiyah ibn Qays and Al-Azraq ibn Qays. They are not brothers. But they have the same name, but their appearance are the same. And the science of hadith is a branch of science. They reported that as what? Al-Mu'talif wal-Mukhtalif. The branch of the science of hadith. Similar names, different parents' names. Different parents' names, you know, like that. It may be the same name, like Imam Ibrahim ibn Yazid ibn Nakhli and Ibrahim ibn Yazid ibn Tamimi, At-Tayni. Ibrahim ibn Yazid At-Tamimi. Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nakhli. Hamad ibn Zayd. Hamad ibn Salama. These kinds of things are much. Al-Imam Khatib al-Baghdadi has a book, and I think Al-Hafiz also has a book on it. They refer to them as what? Al-Mu'talif wal-Mukhtalif. So Atiyah ibn Qays and Al-Azraq ibn Qays are not brothers. That is not where we are coming, because they are both fiqh, so there is no issue. The issue is regarding two people in this isnad. The first one is Yunus ibn Bukayr. Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd in this book is cited Ibn Hajar. Ibn Hajar said he is saduq yukhti. And then Sheikh Bakr says, فَمَعْنَاهُ أَنَّهُ إِذَا تُوُبِّئَ حَسَنُ الْحَدِيثِ وَإِلَّا فَلَيْنَ الْحَدِيثِ. The issue regarding maqbool. It's a clear-cut error. Don't go to the Qajjima of Taqrib al-Tahdith. What Sheikh Bakr said will be clear to us. Because there's no mutaba'a to the hadith is da'if. Yunus ibn Bukayr is Hassan al-Hadith. Yunus ibn Bukayr is Hassan al-Hadith. Al-Imam al-Hafiz himself said is Saduq. Yukhti. He is a learned person. He is a truthful person. But he is. These kinds of people, al-asli fi riwayatihim al-qabul. You accept their reports. Except if it is from those else that they say, yukhti. The least ruling of Yunus ibn Bukayr is that لا ينحط عن مرتبة الحسن. It will not come lower than Hassan. I will say two things that Sheikh al-Albani did not say when he was proving this. So that we add to what we find in Tamam al-Minna and in other books where Sheikh proved it. Yunus ibn Bukayr was mentioned in a hadith by al-Imam Abdul Haq al-Ishbaini in al-Ahkam al-Wusta. And al-Imam Abu Bakr Abu Muhammad al-Ishbaini, he wrote the hadith weak. That is why al-Imam Ibn al-Qattab al-Fasi in his book Bayan al-Wahm wa-Iham al-Waqi'ayn fi Kitab al-Ahkam. In this, he was refusing Abdul Haq al-Ishbaini. That Yunus ibn Bukayr, if you declare this hadith weak because of Yunus ibn Bukayr, it's an error you have made. And the Imam went on to prove that Yunus ibn Bukayr is thiqatun from some of the scholars, like Yahya ibn Ma'in, like al-Imam ibn Numayr, and others, al-Imam al-Ijmi, and others who have brought him thiqa. The least he got is that it's mahallu huwa thiq. And that is from Abu Hatim al-Razi. If we have time, we'll have ready. So perhaps when we start classes, study classes, we'll discuss them inshallah. We'll come back to this hadith. Because people are discussing it without going further. Let's find out on our own. Yunus ibn Bukayr is Hassan al-Hadith. Al-Imam Abu Hassan al-Fati in Bayan al-Wahm wal-Ihab, he says it is wrong to declare a hadith weak because of Yunus ibn Bukayr. He explained other issues. The second person who did that was Al-Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah. He has a book, Man tukunnima fihi wa huwa muwaqsaqun. There are some among the scholars that are already declared as thiqah, reliable reporters of hadith. But some people say something regarding them. So some people come and say, okay, they have said this thing about him, so he's a weak reporter. Zahabi says no. The fact that they said those things about them does not mean that they are weaker reporters. You can say their hadith will not be sahih, but it will not be less than hadithing Hassanin. One of them is who? Yunus ibn Bukayr. You can say anything about him, but the least warning you give for his hadith is that hadith is Hassan. If you read the Muqaddimah of Al-Imam al-Zahabi in this book, Man tukullima fihi wa huwa muwastakun, those scholars that the people have heard complaints about them, but the preponderant ruling on them is that their ahadith are accepted. It's a whole book by Al-Imam al-Zahabi. And one of those we mentioned in it was Al-Imam Yunus ibn Bukayr. After mentioning his name, Yunus ibn Bukayr, Al-Imam al-Zahabi rahimahullah said, he says, Yunus ibn Bukayr, Saduq. Yunus ibn Bukayr, what is he ruling him up? Saduq. That is Hassan al-Hadith. In Mizan al-I'tidal, that is what Al-Imam al-Zahabi said. He said, wa huwa Hassan al-Hadith. What we said, because Mizan al-I'tidal, Hassan al-Hadith, Shaykh al-Bani said it. They didn't say this one. Rahimahullah. So add it to the statement of Al-Imam ibn al-Qattab al-Fasi in Bayan al-Wahm wal-Iham, you understand that Yunus ibn Bukayr, the least ruling is Hadith will have its word, Hassan. The second section we spoke about, that an area of issue regarding this hadith is Al-Haytham ibn Imran Al-Abad, the Shaykh of Yunus ibn Bukayr. This Haytham, he has an issue. There is none among the scholars who say he is a thicker, he is a reliable reporter of hadith. And there is none among the scholars who say he is a weak reporter of hadith. But he has five amongst the scholars of hadith who reported hadith from him. Five. Reported hadith from him. So what does that translate to? It's a difficult thing to do. Sheikh Albani said, I have done it from the knowledge Allah has given to me. And I have found out that people like Ibn Hajar, Ibn Kathir, and Al-Imam al-Zahabi have done so. I now started finding where did they do that. I found a lot. I wish that we have scholars that discuss them more. What Sheikh Al-Bani did, Imam al-Zahabi was doing it. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar was doing it. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir was doing it. For some of those scholars who are in this category, who they can't find a person who says whether that they are thiqat or they are du'afa. And they have reported hadith from them. No judge, no tawfiq, but there are reports from them. How do we know what to do with their hadith? I'll just take one of them. Sheikh Al-Bani had explained it. You can go back to Tamam al-Minna. But like I said, I like to say some things that he did not say. Rahimahullah. This book, Sharh Ila al-Tirmidhi, was written by Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. If you go back to Sunan al-Tirmidhi, at the end of Sunan al-Tirmidhi, you see a book there. Al-Ila al-Saghir. That book is in about 15 pages. This is a Sharh by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali was among the teachers of Ibn Hajar. Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali was among the teachers of Ibn Hajar. So this book was written long ago. It's from among the scholars of early 7th century, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. It means this book is about 700 years ago. He said something, and we could make a lot of benefit from it. I have not been hearing my brothers talking about it, and I think I should bring it to them. They should look for it. We should look for it. Find a lot of benefit in it. Al-Imam Abu Hatim al-Razi, rahimahullah, was asked a question. Abu Hatim al-Razi was asked a question by his son. We did it fast because of time. Qala ibn Abi Hatim. This statement is a statement of Ibn Rajab in Sharh Ila al-Tirmidhi by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali. Qala ibn Abi Hatim. And Imam Ibn Abi Hatim said, Sa'altu Abi ani ruwat al-sifat. I asked my father about riwayat al-sifat, about the report by reliable scholars. Our reasoning from a man غير ثقة is not been mentioned to be a ثقة. مما يقويه will the report, the fact that learned reliable people reported from him, we need strengthen his report. There is somebody غير ثقة. يروي عنه الثقة يقويه يعني رواية الثقات عنه يوطوه. Somebody is not a reliable scholar, is not mentioned. Is he reliable or not? We don't know. But he has scholars reporting hadith from him. Will the fact that scholars are reporting hadith from him, will it benefit him? And what he reports? And Imam Ibn Abi Hatim said, قَالَ إِذَا كَانَ مَعْرُوفًا بِالضَّعْفِ لَمْ يُقَوِّهِ. It is known to be weak, the fact that scholars report from him, لَمْ يُقَوِّهِ, it will not strengthen his report. لَمْ يُقَوِّهِ رِوَايَتُهُمْ عَنْهُ. Their report from him will not strengthen him. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَجْهُولًا. But if it's someone we don't know, is it thicker? Is it not thicker? We just don't know. وَإِنْ كَانَ مَجْهُولًا. If it's someone whose condition is not known, نَفَعَهُ رِوَايَةُ الثِّقَةِ أَوْ رِوَايَةُ الثِّقَاتِ عَنْهُ. نَفَعَهُ أَوْ نَفَعَهُ رِوَايَةُ الثِّقَةِ عَنْهُ. The fact that reliable scholars report from him, نَفَعَهُ. Please hold this Quran down your hand. There is the hadith of Azab al-Muhallak, the hadith of Usayd ibn Abi Husayn. This issue is the issue that causes problems in many hadith. So some will say the hadith is weak because it's majhul. And those people have reported from me, they are thiqat a'imma. Although none of them came to say it's thiqat. But no learned person will sit down with somebody whose report is valueless. Not just that, even transmit the report to somebody else. Except those who used to do that lil itibar aw lil ilm bi wurudha. They used to do it. Now I'm saying things that if I want to start explaining them, it will give me problems. Have that on Ibn Abi Hatim. It's not over. Fasa'altu Aba Zura'at al-Razi, Ubaydullah ibn Abdul Karim. I asked him, who is this asking? Ibn Abi Hatim, the son of Al-Imam Abu Hatim. He is the one saying this. He says, I asked Abu Zura'at al-Razi, an riwayat al-thiqat al-Rajul, when reliable people report a hadith from a man, mimma yuqawwi hadithahu, with that sensing the thought of that man, we allow the people to report hadith from him. We need to strengthen his hadith. The Imam says, that is yes, la amri, it's like swear, wallahi, it will. Yanfa'u, it will benefit you. La amri, wallahi, it will. Although ulama say la amri is not from siyadul qasam, because in Arabic only three things can be employed to make al qasam. Al wa'u, wa mada, wa alba, wa mada, wa ta. The three of them occur in Suratul Yusuf. In Suratul Yusuf. Wa'un, ba'un, ta'un. If it is not there, it is not a qasam. So they say la amri means affirming what he has said. He said, it will benefit you. So rawi, al-majhul, yani rawi, majhul al-hal. Yarwi al-hittikar, yanfa'uhu, aw tanfa'uhu riwayatuhum anhu, yuqawwi halahu, fa yuhaqqan lahu. La siyama, especially if we will not find any statements to make jarh or gam say him. He's just majhul al-hal. Riwayat al-hittikar anhu yanfa'uhu. And that is what has happened in the case of Haysa. If we go back to combine what we have said now with what we find in Tamam al-Munna, we find a lot of benefits, inshallah. The point is that hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, that he rested on his hands to stand up, is an authentic hadith. At the end of it, he said, Ra'aytu Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaf'alu. I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do that. So it is from the sunnah that when we stand up, we should rely on our hands. Two hadith. Which is the first hadith? Hadith of Malik ibn Huwayd. Which is the second hadith? The hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar. I think we can stop here. There are a lot of other issues around here. Because the matter turned from Fikhiyya, we started with Mas'ala Fikhiyya and became Lughawiyya. We left Mas'ala from Lughawiyya Hadithiyya now. It is why you carry, why you resolve this, now you come to use that hadith as evidence. Because once the hadith is sahih, after all this trouble, you can prove that this hadith is sahih or at least hasan, any other statement is just a statement. You may wonder, why are you stopping? They say, is this sahih? Is this that? No. Because the issue is that once we can prove that hadith is sahih, any other statement will not have much meaning to us when they contradict that hadith. So that is why. When the likes of Sheikh al-Albani verify the hadith, they say the hadith is hasan. They will not change that opinion. Unless you can prove to them that the hadith is weak. Why? Because the Prophet's statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the ruler and judge over the statement of any other human being. So if the Prophet says it is like this, if Umar said, I saw the Prophet doing that, radiallahu anhu. Malik ibn Huwayd came to report to us, let me show you how the Prophet used to pray. He used to pray like this. Okay, tell me that Jumhur used to say, stand up like that. I will not answer you. Because Allah didn't send Jumhur to me. He sent the Prophet Muhammad. Alayhi salatu wa salam. And all the ulama, all of them, they have a saying, is that sahih al-hadith? Or who will not have? Once the hadith is sahih. So that is why the time of the effort will be, let's find out, is that hadith sahih? Once we can prove that it is sahih, it becomes scripture. Lana wa la zayina. May Allah protect us. So this is the point, inshallah. Now we have only two issues to discuss to end this matter. The two sittings of at-tashahud. Our next sitting, inshallah, we'll discuss the first tashahud and the second tashahud. Because once you stand up from sajda to the second rak'ah, what do you do? All of what you did in the first rak'ah is what you do. So it remains only two issues for us. The first sitting of tashahud and the second sitting of at-tashahud. And after that we'll end sifatu salatin nabi and then we'll come back to our book, inshallah. Ameen, ameen. These kinds of classes are not like you say, brother, stand up, tell us about the Prophet Salah, and then start talking in 15 minutes. Inshallah, even with mentioning the proofs, someone can discuss Salah in 15 minutes, 20 minutes, he will discuss the Salah. But these ones are like this is what I am doing, and this is the reason why I am doing. Gradually, this is what I am doing, and this is the reason I do. This is how to do. This is how to do. It is different from how, oh, let's just discuss Salah and then we'll talk about it and go away. So the reason Allah will end Sifat to Salah in our next class, and then we'll go back to our book, Ad-Durar al-Nahiyyah. We'll now start from the beginning. Takbirat al-Ihram. What is its meaning? Takbirat al-Ihram. Rukun. Rukun. Takbirat al-Ihram. Rukun. Rukun. We notice there is no Salah. Don't forget the meaning of Rukun. رفع اليدين عند التكبير واجب في تكبيرة الإحرام. القبض سنة مؤكدة. If you say it is واجب, there is no problem. Then what? دعاء الاستفتاح سنة. البسملة واجب. الاستعاذة واجب. واجبة. Then what? البسملة. It is part of Surah Al-Fatiha, Hadith of Abu Huraira and Umm Salama. Cool? Then Qira'at Al-Fatiha, the hukum for the Imam, the hukum for the Ma'mun. But for the Munfarid, it is what? Rukun min Arkan Al-Salam. Reciting a Surah after Surah Al-Fatiha is what? Sunan min Sunan Al-Salam. Sunnah min Sunan Al-Salam. And then the Takbir. The takbir is what? Wajib, because it is takbirat al-intiqal. And all takbirat al-intiqal from one position to the other is what? Each of them is wajib. The rafu' al-yadayn inda al-intiqal is what? Sunnah. Then al-azkar in our rukuah. What is the meaning? Now? Azkar al-rukuah. Now, al-ruku' itself is rukun. The al-kar of rukun is what? Now?
Wajib.
Okay. Al-rafu min al-ruku' sami' Allahu liman hamida. What is the meaning? Wajib. Rafu al-yadayn inda al-rafu min Allah ruku' sunnah. Rabbana ولك الحمد أو ربنا لك الحمد أو اللهم ربنا all these are from sunan. We also mention different forms of it. The رفع اليدين عند الخروج إلى السجود while going down on sujood. رفع اليدين is what? Sunnah. But the takbir is what? Wajib. Okay. You know the sifa of sujood, correct? The sujood itself is what? Rukun. But the al-kar of rukun of sujood is what? Al-rajih. Okay. At-takbir, when you stand up from sajda, it's what? Wajib. The al-kar of al-jalsa tuzayna, at-sajdatayn is what? Sunnah. What are the sifa, the ways of sitting? Two ways. Al-iftirash and al-iqah. They are sunan too. But that sitting just above the sajdatayn is what? It is from the arkan of salah. That sitting. And then, rafu al-yadayn when you are standing up, what is the sunan? Sunnah. Rafu al-yadayn when you are going back to sajda, that was sunnah. The takbir, when you are going back to sajda, it's what? Wajib. Then we have talked about adhkaru as-sujood. When you now stand up for the second rak'ah, what do you do first? Jalsatul istiraha. What is its meaning? Sunnah. When you want to stand up for the second rak'ah, what do you do? You place your hands and stand up. That placing of the hands, al-ajm you make, al-i'timadu al-al-ard, what is its meaning? This is where we are. It is remaining to the two things that are remaining are from the arkan of salah. The first tashahud and the second tashahud. We'll come back to them in our next class. We can stop here. We ask questions at other times, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.